Okay, good morning, brothers and sisters. I greet you in Jesus' name. It's a fantastic privilege to be with you. It's like, okay, ready? So, always wonderful to be with you. Bring your greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning, and greetings from Jeffreys Bay Bible Church, which we see ourselves as a sister church to this church. I still remember the days when our brother Andre Pinar preached, not in this venue, but way back there. I think, what's it? Is that place Newton Park, Andre? Kebega Park, that's it. Kebega, when he was still the pastor, and I would do pulpit swaps with him. And then Neil came and I did pulpit swaps with him. And now Isaac is here and I'm doing pulpit swaps with Isaac. So it's a wonderful relationship for the last at least 16 years. And we, as a church, on a weekly basis, I'm praying for you, really trusting God to bless you. And I'm so thankful that there's a church in P where I can refer people to say, listen, you'll get the Bible at that church. Go to that church. You will meet the people who love Jesus, who loves His Word. So yeah, so that's fantastic. Marius said, I must say something about myself. Where's Marius? How far do you want me to go back? Before the foundation of the world, the Lord elected me. Is that far enough? And now, wonderful. My wife Delilah, we've been married going on 23 years. Adults, going. Next year, 23 years, nearly there. Then Lorian, there is my baby boy, you know. That's taller than me now. Salma just finished matric, our daughter. So it's so funny because we told our kids they can't date when they're in high school, because we said, listen, dating is supposed to lead to marriage. So you can't get married. So why date? You're only looking for trouble. So the moment she wrote matric. That evening she told us, she just wanted to say, parents, I'm now single and available. So, and the very next day she said, I wonder who's the first man that will come and sit here on the stoop talking with you, Dad. So, I just want to let you know, I've got a shotgun, so you're welcome to come, but it won't be easy. But yeah, so we're thankful, and we at Jeffreys Bay Bible Church, as pastor, I've been there 16 years now, and but part of the church since 1994. So really, yeah, just and still part of it when Andre was also driving through from PE looking for a good church, and he was for a long time also part of the church there. So yeah, we're thankful. We're thankful for what the Lord's doing in Jeffreys Bay. We encouraged, we had a baptism a while back. The Lord is saving people. Yeah, beautiful. I mean, one of the guys he saved in our church, he grew up in our church, a young guy, he grew up, and then after school, he was in Sunday school, everything. The moment he finished matric, he just kind of just did his own thing. He moved in with a girlfriend, you know, and then like 2 years later, he came back and said, no, I can't live. I need the Lord. You know, I need the Lord. So we praise the Lord that he allows prodigal sons and daughters to come back. And yeah, it's fantastic. So we see God working in that way. And we realize sometimes you need to let people make mistakes. And sometimes you need to trust God that no situation, no matter how bad it seems to the natural eye, is beyond God. It's beyond God. God can save anyone everywhere, from everywhere. And so we encourage as a church. We encourage. People are growing in the Lord. There's challenges and people finding their strength in the Lord. So yeah, so we praise the Lord. So if you're ever in Jeffreys Bay, please come visit us, Jeffreys Bay Bible Church, and come worship the Lord with us. That'll be great. I trust that's enough of an introduction. Father, we thank you for this morning. And we want to say with the psalmist, blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God of our salvation. To God belongs deliverances. Our God is a God of deliverance, and to God the Lord belongs escapes from death. And we thank you that this is who you are this morning, Father, a fantastic, great God for whom nothing is impossible. And we thank you that even as we are gathered here this morning together, it's not by accident. It's not even by our own volition that you have so directed our paths that we could be here this morning to hear from you. And so we thank you for that. We are so thankful that we can be those that's been directed here. And maybe, Lord, the motives wasn't right, but we are here, and we pray that this morning you will meet everyone where they're at. We thank you that you know where we're at, and that you, by your Spirit, see the deepest parts of our hearts. And we pray, please reach in there and work in a mighty way in our hearts and lives. I want to thank you, Father, for this local church, for Redeemer Fellowship. We thank you for Isaac and Taryn and their boys. And we pray your blessing on the pastoral couple, that they will continue to grow in Christ, that as they grow in Christ, the church together with them will grow. We pray that you'd protect them against the evil one, Father, and use them mightily as a local church in this city, we pray. And this morning, Father, we pray for so many people who don't know you. We think of the major religions in the world. We pray this morning that you would please save Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons and Roman Catholics. We pray that you would save Muslims, Father, and Hindus and Buddhists. We pray this morning that you would save Seventh-day Adventists. We pray this morning, Father, please, that you'd save atheists and agnostics and people who are animists, worshipping trees and stones and greenies. Lord, we pray that you, the living God, would even in this day, as your word is preached all around the world, that you'd save people and draw people to yourself. We pray for the other churches in this city, that you would bless them, that they would preach Christ boldly this morning. We pray, Father, even as we are together, that we would grow in the faith, that we will not leave the same way than which we came in. Please, Father, we pray, convict us of our sins, give us grace to repent, help us to become more like Christ even this morning. Let not this time of meeting with you, the living God, be in vain. Because you say in your word, if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So please, Father, by your Spirit, come in this hour now. Come in this time as we humble ourselves before you in your word and speak to every heart. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we live in days and times where a lot of people are fitness conscious, especially as you come into the summer. You see that. Hulle you normally see it here coming August, September. Hulle sê jou somerlyfie begin in die winter. Yes, your summer body starts in winter and people, you know, they want to go to the beach and they start exercising. And I guess it's big in the city, everyone goes to the gym. And when you go to the gym, you know, you start with the lower part, you've got a whole circuit, you lower parts of the body, you go to the upper parts, you exercise all the muscles. You know, you want to be nice and toned. But now imagine you just decided to exercise one kind of muscle in your body. You say, I'm just going to practice my arms, you know. And then you've got this guy, he's got an upper body like the Hulk, and he's walking on these little matchsticks. And you've seen those guys before, haven't you? Just like these arms and then the shorts and there's these little legs hanging out there. And that is just like, it's a joke. But yet, sadly, this is the way many Christians look. This is the way that how many Christians in your, maybe even you this morning, in your spiritual life, there are some parts that's underdeveloped and some parts that's overdeveloped. You are asymmetrical in your spiritual man. See, the Bible calls us to do spiritual exercises. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. The Greek word discipline, gymnasio, from which we get our word gymnasium, means to practice, to exercise. Exercise yourself to become more like the Lord Jesus. Practice yourself, discipline yourself to become more like Christ. And there's various exercises we do. Disciplines to become more like Jesus. For instance, the Word. By reading the Word, by studying it, by memorizing it, by meditating on it, you are growing your spiritual muscles. You are becoming more like Christ. By fellowshipping together with God's people, you are becoming more like Jesus because the body builds you up. By serving one another, by giving, you know, by reaching out, by sharing the gospel, you are becoming more like Christ by exercising those spiritual muscles. But there's one spiritual muscle that is very underdeveloped in most Christians. And that muscle is, can you guess? What exercise don't Christians do as they ought to do? Prayer. That muscle of prayer. Private prayer and corporate prayer. And it was so wonderful to hear Mario saying this morning, listen, corporate prayer is going on. Because that is where you need to And you need to be disciplined in prayer life, private and corporate prayer, in order for you to grow spiritually. And the question is this. I remember reading the comic strip Asterix, Asterix, and there was the one Asterix in the Olympic Games. And there was this Olympic javelin thrower that had this massive right arm. You know, he broke little trees off and he was throwing the little trees, not even little, big, just throwing these trees, you know, practicing javelin. And then his little left arm was shriveled up like this. So this big arm on this side and this little left arm. Is this maybe you this morning? You are strong in the Bible, but weak in prayer. Huh? You are strong in fellowship. I mean, man, you are the master of fellowship. They can't get you away from church. But you're weak in prayer. And the Bible wants us to be balanced and complete Christians, to be that Christ be formed in you wholly and completely, that you look to the, that you become like the stature of Christ. And for you to become that way, for Christ to be fully formed in you, you need to give attention to prayer in your life. And so this morning then, I trust and I want to hope to encourage you from God's Word in this discipline of prayer, private and public, so that you can reflect Christ more in your life and be that Christ can be fully formed in your inner man. So please turn your Bibles to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Our verse that we will look at this morning is Colossians 4 verse 2. But we'll, for sake of context, we'll read Colossians 4 verses 2 to 4. So Paul is in prison as he writes this letter, we know. Epaphras, who planted the church, went all the way to Paul in Western Turkey, the church in Colossae was, went all the way where Paul was in prison and said, listen, Paul, we need advice. There's all these heresies that's infiltrating the church. How do we deal with them? So he traveled thousands of kilometers to Paul in prison and brought back this letter to help the church cope with all these heresies. And so Colossians 4 verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So don't just ask the whole time. Because some of you say, I'm praying a lot, but are you just asking the whole time? Are you like the leech's daughter maybe that all you say is give, give, give? He says, no, no, devote yourselves to prayer, but be alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us, Paul and his ministry team as well, that God will open to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. So yes, he wants you to pray, and he wants you to be thankful in prayer, and he also wants you to be missional in your praying. And now when Paul writes this letter to the Colossians, the first two chapters is all about theory. It's all about theory. It's also the way he's organized the letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 1 to 3 is the theory, the theology of the Christian life. And chapters 2 and 4 in Colossians, or 3 and 4, is the practice. It is the practice. It always moves from the theory to the practical. From the theoretical to the practical. From salvation to sanctification. And this is the question this morning. Is your Christianity, has it moved from salvation to sanctification? Are you becoming more like Jesus, or are you the same man that you were 2 years ago? The same woman? Because if there's not change in your life, if there's not more Christ-likeness, you haven't met Christ truly yet. Steve Lawson said this, if the Jesus you've met has not changed your life, you have met another Jesus. Because Jesus, the living Christ, changes our lives. And Paul then, in this practical section, he starts in chapter 3 and he says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, if you've been made alive in Christ, you are going to live differently. And firstly, he speaks of putting off sin and putting on righteousness. You will live a holy life. There's things you will stop doing and other things you will start doing. You will stop doing the wrong things, you'll start doing the right things. He speaks also about just, you'll be a person that will now fill yourself with God's Word. You'll be teaching others and counseling others. He speaks that when you are spiritually alive, it affects your relationships with one another. He speaks to wives and husbands, chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, to parents and children, to slaves and masters. And now he comes in chapter 4 and he speaks about your relationship with the Lord. When you come to know Christ, he affects all relationships in your life. Not just the horizontal relationships, but also this vertical relationship. And Paul writes and he says, devote yourselves to prayer. What is prayer? At its basic level, it is talking to God, isn't that? It's having a relationship with God. The Westminster Catechism says this, point number 178, prayer is the offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of the Spirit with the confession of our sins and the thankful acknowledgments of all His mercies. So you come to the Father in the name of Christ by the help of the Spirit and then you ask Him for things, you confess your sins, and you thank Him. That is what prayer is. And the Bible says we as Christians ought to devote yourselves to prayer. The Greek word for devote means you must move towards prayer. It's imperative in the Greek, meaning God commands us. He says, every Christian, what I want you to do, it's present imperative. As a Christian, your life must be moving towards prayer. Not sporadic prayer, random prayer. Pray today and then you pray in 5 days again. Pray today and on church in the Sunday and only pray next Sunday again. He says, no, the habitual, ongoing pattern of your life must be one of prayer. As bees make their way to flowers all the time, you must make your heart to God. Your heart must turn to God in prayer all the time. As sunflowers, you know what sunflowers do? I've heard this Free State people. Where are they? Where's the Free State people? What does the sunflowers do with the sun? They follow the sun. When the sun comes up, the sunflowers like, and then the sunflowers move their heads, they follow the sun. As sunflowers follow the sun through the day, so your heart, you are to follow God in your heart and all day long. Your spiritual GPS or your Google Maps, prayer must be the destination every day. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves. Let this be a continual habitual pattern of your life that you are a person who pray. And he's not writing this to the elders or to the pastor. He's writing this to the church. Christian mothers, Christian businessmen, Christian plumbers, Christian teachers, Christian doctors. He's saying, listen, I want you as Christians. God wants you to be a people of prayer. To be a people who seek out God in prayer. Now we know that as the apostles waited for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, Acts 1:14, it says they continually devoted themselves to prayer. The early church in Acts 2:42, they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to the prayers. The early church were a praying people. We see the Lord Jesus, don't we? It says in Luke 5:16, but Jesus himself would slip away into the wilderness and pray. And now the slip away in the Greek is a present participle. Habitually, continually, they were looking for Jesus. Where is Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? No, we haven't. He slipped away again. He slipped away into the wilderness again to pray. And this is what the Lord says. This must be the pattern of our where we slip away, where we just find our relief and our solace in God. There's Romans 12, verse 12. Paul writes, he says, be devoted to prayer. And if you want to hear it in another way, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this, pray without ceasing. So when Paul says here, listen, I want you as Christians, I've never seen you before because he didn't plant the church in Colossae, Epaphras did, but I want you to be devoted to prayer. It's not something we just find here. Prayer is a Christian thing. It is a New Testament thing. God wants us to be a praying people. I think it's a timely word for us today. Because I think, like we said, we acknowledge, listen, prayer is not on the biggest list. It's not on the highest performances in most Christians' lives. So we can be encouraged with this every week. Now it's easy for me this morning. And maybe you sit there, it's like, oh my, I hope he's not going to make me feel guilty because he doesn't need to go a long way. You know, I already know that be devoted to prayer, be ongoingly, habitually praying. It's like, I don't think that's me. And so this morning, I don't want to leave you here with a sense of, oh man, I just messed up again. I really want to encourage you this morning. This morning, we want to look at this text and say, how can we be encouraged to be those kind of people that's devoted to pray? You know, because God says we ought to be praying all the time, but we need encouragement. And so this morning, I want to give you 4 encouragements. And they, in a sense, will be like those little wings we put on the babies to swim. Think about them, those plastic wings, because you have a hard time to swim, huh? You know, this prayer thing is hard for you. So these little plastic wings, they're going to help you float through this. So 4 encouragements to help you pray and that Christ may be fully formed in you. Because that's the goal, that you may be fully, that Christ may find his fullness in you, that you may develop as a Christian. And the first encouragement I want to give you this morning to, in order to help you obey this command, to be a praying man and a praying woman, is this. God created you and saved you to have a relationship with him. God created you and saved you to have a relationship with him. See, many people, when they think of prayer, they think of Aladdin's lamp, don't they? Like, wink, 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 wink. You know, you're in a difficult time, so you take out that lamp, wink, 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 wink. Like, whoop, out comes the genie, like, okay, you know, out comes the Lord, like, no, you need this. But But this is what the Bible says. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 8, for the Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So why do you need to pray then if God already knows what you need? See, because prayer is not first and primarily about asking God. It's about a relationship. God wants to have a relationship with you. That is what prayer is about. And we see this right in the beginning of the world when God created Adam and Eve. He creates the world and He puts Adam and Eve in the garden. And God doesn't retract Himself. He doesn't move away from the earth. No, the Bible tells us in Genesis 3:8 that Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. See, in the cool of the day, the Lord would come down and He would commune with Adam and Eve as a man communes with a friend. And He would ask Adam, how was your day? And Adam said, yeah, Lord, I was just like trying to get that olive tree. And I went and I picked some figs today. And Eve, how was your day? What? Adam said, what? You're gaining weight. Oh, Adam, I should have a word with you. How can you say that to Eve? I mean, those figs are healthy for her. It's good stuff. And so God created Adam and Eve to have this wonderful relationship. It's, brother, sister, this is fantastic. If you miss this, you miss Christianity. You want to know what Christmas is about? You want to know what the Christmas trees and the joy is about? It's about God wanting to have a relationship with you. Creating man to, He puts us in physical families that we relate to each other, that we can understand. This is why God put us here, to have a relationship with Him as a father. So He, that's why He put us here. As He created the birds to sing, He created you to talk to Him all the time. As He created the sun to pour forth heat, He created us to pour out our hearts before Him. But then sin came into the world and messed it all up. Isn't that right? Because this very couple, we see the moment they ate of the forbidden fruit, when they heard the sound of the Lord came into the garden, Genesis 3:8, it says, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Suddenly, this wonderful, beautiful relationship was spoiled. It was disrupted. They hid away from God. They were afraid of God. And this is what sin does. Is this maybe your relationship with God this morning? That it's like you don't really talk to God. There's nothing. It's like you can't have this relationship. It's like God is up there, you down here, and there's this big emptiness in between. I mean, you can talk to your neighbors, you can talk to your dog, you can talk to your flowers, but you can't talk to God. And the reason for that is the Bible says it's your sin. And it is sin. Isaiah 59 says, verse 1 and 2, the Lord's hand is not short so that it cannot save. His ear is not dull so it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. The Bible tells us that we are born in sin. We are born in a state separated from God. And all the sins that you do separate you from this God who created you. Now, every time there's a gossip, every time there's lust, all these sins in your heart separate you from a holy God. And Christmas time, this Christmas, what we celebrate is God sending His Son into the world. Because the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. God must punish sin with death. And Christmas time, we celebrate the Son coming into the world, taking on a human body to die in our place. For this reason, that this relationship of God that's destroyed and distorted because of sin may be fixed and united. That you may come back, that you may have a wonderful relationship with God again through the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:22 says, He has now reconciled you in Jesus' fleshly body through death. This is how the relationship changes, Paul says. It is through faith in Christ, dying for your sins. And so the question is this, have you trusted the Lord Jesus yet this morning? Have you realized you're a sinner? Have you realized your sin separates you from a holy God and that your sin will one day condemn you to hell? And have you said, Jesus, please forgive me. I believe you died on that cross. You rose again. You were buried and rose again. I believe. Take away my sin. Have you done that? See, church cannot do that for you. Talking to other people cannot do that for you. Reading Christians' books cannot take your sin away. Singing Christian songs cannot take your sins away. It's only faith in Christ that can do that. Have you trusted Jesus? And if not, come even this morning and say, oh Jesus, please. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to continue to live life and God feels so far from me. I take my sin away that I may have a relationship with God. You can leave here today having a relationship with God who created you if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, don't go out of here that God feels like he's on another planet. Leave here where you know that you can walk with him as a man walks with his best friend. But then you need to put your faith in him. You need to trust him. One of the greatest privileges in my life is to have a relationship with the Lord. It's one of the greatest things about my life. When I wake up in the morning and like I'm coming by and I'm like, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for this new day. Thank you for protecting me. And then I go and I take my Bible, ask my wife, I take my Bible and I go sit there and I talk to the Lord. Quiet times. Do you have quiet times? Do you quiet your heart before the Lord? Because he says be devoted to the Lord in prayer, meaning pray continually, but there also needs to be that set apart time to pray. Going into your closet, just you and the Lord. Because when you're so busy the whole time, you don't think properly. There are things you don't pray about, but when you sit there, you and the Lord, you can pray about things, you work through things. But then I sit there and I'm like, Lord, I need you, and Lord, open your word. And it's me and the Lord, and then we have family devotions. And as a family, we pray together, we say, Lord, as a family, we need you today. And then we go into our day, and I say, off to a meeting, I say, Father, give me wisdom for this meeting. Lord, open the eyes of these people in this meeting. Lord, help me, bless me. And on we go. Does that resonate with you? That relationship with the Lord. That Jesus is not on a distant planet, but he's here right next to you. And he changes your life. He changes the way you do things. You know, when you sickle with a machine, you say, Lord, help me fix this thing. And when there's a difficult customer or client, it's like, Lord, just help me get through to them. He's real to you. Because, friend, that is why God saves you to have a relationship with you. That's why he created you. Why are people on the earth? Because God wants us, put us here to have a relationship with God who created us. And without Christ, that is impossible. And nothing in your life can satisfy as much as a close, intimate relationship with the Lord. There's no soul-satisfying fulfillment in life apart from walking closely with Christ. Money will not satisfy, friends will not satisfy, sex will not satisfy, drugs and power will not satisfy. Only an intimate walk with Christ will. Do you know that this morning? Do you know that? Do you treasure that? That's the first encouragement. God comes and he gives this command, be devoted to praying. But why? Why should we pray? Because that's why you were made. To have a relationship with God. If you miss that, it's like you miss having this relationship with God. It's like a dolphin not in the sea. It's like a bird not being able to fly. You miss your purpose. You were created to have a close relationship with God. A second encouragement this morning to help you obey this command to be devoted to prayer. Both public praying and corporate praying and praying just through the day is this. God gives us this command to be devoted to prayer because you stop praying. Isn't that right? That's why Paul must give this command to Christians. Be devoted to praying because as a Christian, you stop talking to God. He creates you and prayer is really, it's the breath of the Christian life is to pray. And what will happen when you stop breathing? You will die. And so we need to keep on praying and he gives us this exhortation to always be praying because you stop praying. Why do you stop praying? Well, let me mention three reasons. Why do you stop praying? The first reason is because of sin. As we saw in Isaiah 59, God hides his face from us when there's sin in our lives. And maybe this morning you have stopped praying and you don't know even when last you prayed or you turned your eyes heavenward because there's some sin in your life, unconfessed sin. You think you can have a holy God in your life and sin. You think that, but the Bible says sin grieves the Spirit. Sin in your life grieves the Spirit of God and you cannot have a close, intimate relationship with God when you walk in darkness. So if you look in your life today and say, listen, I've been this thing of continual praying, this just this close walk with the Lord through prayer, it's far and distant from me. I don't know when last I just prayed during the week. Search your heart even right now. What sin is there? And maybe the Lord's long time ago showed you that sin, but you are just resisting Him, just start quenching the Spirit. Come even now and say, Lord, forgive me for this. I want to walk with you. I want to have an intimate walk with you. So yes, there's sin. The second reason why we stop praying is because life is too comfortable. Life is too comfortable. I mean, when we drove into the yard, yes, like I looked at all the nice cars. Like, hey, this guy's got nice cars in PE. You got to live nice and comfortable when you have a nice car like that. And see, when life becomes too comfortable, you think you don't need God anymore, do you? You think you can do without God. And you fall in the trap of Mark 4:19 where Jesus said, he spoke of the seed and the deceitfulness of riches that chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. Because money has the way to tell you that you don't need God. Material wealth tells you, listen, you okay, man, you don't need Jesus. But listen, who keeps your heart beating every moment? Who keeps your DNA together? It's the Lord. And we find, even turn for a moment to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. Turn there if you've got your Bibles. I trust you bring them to church. But here was a church who had money and thought they no longer needed Jesus. Revelation 3. The church in Laodicea, the lukewarm church. These are Christian people. And Jesus said in Revelation, that's the last book in the Bible, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were hot or cold, verse 15, verse 16. But because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you. Literally, not spit, but vomit you out of my mouth. So Jesus is telling Christians, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Why? He says in verse 17, because you say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Says, you know, you don't see, you think you've got money and you're okay? Says, you've got nothing without me. And Jesus goes on to explain, he says there in verse 20, that he's standing outside the door of the church and he's knocking. He says, I want to come in, I want to have part of your life. But the church have locked Christ outside because they thought they have money. And maybe that's you this morning. You've got a nice car, sir. You've got a nice house, man, but Jesus is outside. He's not part of your life because you think, I've got all this stuff, I'm okay. And Jesus says, repent, I'm going to spit you out. I'm going to spit you out. I will have nothing to do with people who think they don't need me. You've got to see yourself as he sees you, as poor and blind and naked, wretched and miserable. So you don't ask God anymore to bless your day. You know, you don't ask Him to protect you in the night because you've got ADT. You don't pray before a meal because you've worked for your hard-earned money. You don't pray before you go into business deals or meet clients because, you know what, you're on top of your game. You know what you're doing. Like, no, you need the Lord. You need the Lord to bless you. You need the Lord to help you. And so Christians stop praying. This church stopped praying because they thought they've got money, they don't need Jesus. Is that maybe you this morning? It's going so well with you, you thought you no longer need the Lord? Other people stop praying, not just because of sin or because life is too good, because life is really tough and stay tough. And then Christians become discouraged and they stop praying. In Psalm 88, verse 13, the psalmist says, O Lord, I cried to you for help. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Oh Lord, why do you reject my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I was afflicted and about to die from my youth on. I suffer terrors or I'm overcome. And you've got this feeling like prayer is not helping. I'm praying and I'm praying. God's not coming through, so I'm just going to stop praying. Well, the Bible says in Luke 18, Jesus told that parable of the widow to show them at all times men ought to pray and not lose heart. Brother and sister, don't give up praying. Keep on praying. Don't lose heart, because just tell God as Jacob did, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you come through for me. That is the heart that shows faith in God, the one who will not let go of him no matter how tough life is. So Paul comes and tells his church, listen, be devoted to praying. Be devoted to a life of close, intimate walk with the Lord and communication of the Lord. Because that's why you were created and saved. Because, you know, because we stopped praying. And the third reason, or a third encouragement this morning to help you obey this command to be devoted to prayer, is this. Why must you be devoted to prayer? It's because you're a very needy person. Each one of you, as you sit here, are a very, very needy person. I think of Psalm 103. That says this. Let me get it. Verse 14. For he knows our frame. He is mindful that we are, let me hear it, dust. He's mindful that we are dust. See the temptation when the devil came to Adam and Eve in the garden and says, listen, eat of the fruit and you'll be like? You'll be like who? Mirror it. You'll be like God when you eat of the fruit. And somewhere in our minds, we still think, and you may still think, that you're like God, but you're not. You are not. You are finite. You are weak. You are a dependent creature on the Lord, not independent, self-sufficient, autonomous like God. You're a weak creature. I mean, some mornings you can't even get out of bed. Is that right? And some days you have a bad hair day. And it's like, my hair. And other days you're just so insecure and so afraid and so sensitive to what people say about your weight and your height and your this and your that, and you're coming apart. You're a very, very needy person, all of us. And that's why you need to pray and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Acts 17, verse 28, Paul writes, he says, in him we live and move and have our being. We can't live without him, Paul says. We have our being in him. That's why you need to pray. Like those marionette dolls. They only live because the puppet master is holding them up and moving them around. And that's us. The best of us, we're weak. It's like if the Creator lets go of us, we fall down. We need you, Lord, to keep us up and keep us going. You are needy. Jesus explains this neediness of us in John 15, verse 1 to 11, in the vine and branches analogy. He says, this is how you need me. I'm the vine, and you are the branches. He says, and if you're not connected to me, if you're not connected to me, you're going to die. You can do nothing. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. All the life, all the nutrients is in the vine. And we need to connect with Christ that his life may flow in us and through us. And then you bear fruit. Then Brendan can be the husband he ought to be. But if he moves away from Jesus, his wife will pick it up. She'll say, yeah, how's your quiet times doing, my man? How's that? I think you need to just stop, you know. So often we'll be lying in bed. I'll be snuggling up to Delilah. I'm like, hey, baby. She says, no. Move away, you're number two. You're number two because she cannot love me as she ought to love me if she doesn't find that love from the Lord. We need you. You can't have a proper relationship without the Lord having you. And maybe in some of your marriages is a frustration. It is unsatisfying. And the reason is, you know why? You try to do it without Jesus. You think because you know all the answers. Got to love my wife and I got to submit to my husband and therefore it's just going to work magic. No, it's not like that. You need Christ to bless it. You need Christ to help you be the wife and the husband. You need Christ to help you. You are needy. He's the vine and we are the branches, and we need to come and connect and live in daily dependence on him. And that is maybe why some of your spiritual lives you're not growing, because you think you can live and do it without the vine. And the moment you stop connecting, the moment you stop living in this dependent, and I've heard a beautiful illustration the other day. If I take a branch of a tree, if I break it off and put it, if I put it there, I break it off from the tree, I put it there on the ground. How will that branch look tonight? Will it look dry and dead? No. It's nice and green still tonight. How will it look tomorrow night? Still nice and green. That's right, huh? But how will it look in 2 weeks? See, there's a bit of life still left. But how will it look in 2 weeks' time? How will it look in a month's time? And when we try to do life without Him, we perish, we die as Christians. And so this is why this command comes to us to be devoted to prayer. Because we are needy. And not just as husbands, not just we need Him to in our spiritual lives, but also protecting us. The Bible tells us that the devil is out there like a roaring lion wanting to destroy your life. You can't see your enemy. How will you protect yourself? He wants to destroy your family, your marriage, your soul. And so we need to say, Lord, please protect me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Brother and sister, can you start seeing why prayer is important? Can you start seeing why Paul had to say, listen, be devoted to praying? Because you were created and saved by God to have a relationship with Him. Because you stop praying. Because you're a very, very needy person. You dust. He knows that you are but dust. And then the last reason this morning why you should be devoted to prayer, to encourage you. Listen, make much of prayer. Don't start the day just rushing into the day. Start the day by saying, Lord, thank you. Start the day by saying, Lord, I need you. And then as you go through the day, it's like, Lord, I need you, and help me. Protect me, provide. I need you, Lord. The last encouragement I want to give you this morning is this. That God answers prayer. Why pray? Why be devoted to prayer? Because God answers prayer. It's not a futile exercise, brother and sister. It's not just breathing hot air into the sky, prayer. God hears and He answers prayer. Over and over, the Bible gives us the promise that He answers prayer. Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me. Psalm 65, verse 2, oh, you will hear prayer. To you all men will come. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Psalm 91, verse 15, He will call upon me and I will answer Him. Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. And on we can go, all these promises. James 4, verse 2, you don't have because you don't ask. He says God gives, He's a good Father. Now, very important this morning, because a lot of people are discouraged when they pray. Christians are discouraged when they pray, because it seems like God is not giving them what they want. God always answers prayer, but this is very important. He doesn't always say yes. God doesn't always say yes. It's like a traffic light. Sometimes God, it's a red light and God says no. Other times it's the orange light and God says not now or wait. And other times, it's the green light where God says, go ahead, you can have what you want. But He always answers prayer. See, in your mind, you often think, listen, when I pray, He must give me what I want. But the Bible makes it clear. No good thing, Psalm 84, verse 11, does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. So meaning God wants to give good things in your life. But if your two-year-old asks you if he can play with a bread knife, will you give it to him? Will you give it to him? It's like, no way. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to kill your baby sister. So don't. It's like, Dad, I want the car keys. I want to go for a spin. You're 4-year-old. It's like, I don't think so. And so also when you pray to God, there's things you think you're ready for them. Oh, Lord, I need a girlfriend. So you're not ready to be a dad when you're 19. No girlfriend for you. You see, because God knows, listen, you can't handle your hormones now. You think you can handle a girlfriend? No. I need a wife. Well, but you're such a rotten person. There's so many things that need to change in your life still. You will destroy that woman if she becomes your wife now. So no, wait. I still need to do some work in your heart and life. But he says, and the Christian who understands his sovereignty will bow to that and say, Lord, I ask for a wife and you don't give her, so what are you busy teaching me? Where do I need to grow? Where do I need to change? But I don't live in resentment. I know God knows what's good for me. And a wife and a new job and a new car will not be good for me now. You know, it's when I get that new car. Yeah. Woohoo. So he knows pride and arrogance will just take over. And then he will have to oppose me because the Bible says he opposes the proud. He doesn't want to do that. I'm not, I want to be famous. Oh, you can't handle fame. You can't handle that. So he's not going to give that to you because he's a good God. He wants to give you good gifts. And so then important to know, he always answers prayer. What encouragement to pray. But he doesn't always say yes. Sometimes yes, other times wait, and other times no. You know what? This is no till you die, it's no. Because you know, and I know, and God knows what is, you know, the kind of person you are and the weaknesses you have. And there's some things that will always be no for you. It may be yes for that guy, but for you, it's always no. And you learn to rest in your Father, that He knows the best. You know the best. You're a good Father. And I rest in that. But the Bible, why be devoted to prayer? Why make much for prayer? Why go out here and say today, I was just like, Lord, on the way home, like, Lord, just take me safely home. And Lord, help me be encouragement when I meet that brother later. And why pray? And why always be connecting with the Lord? Because God answers prayer in profound ways. And let me show you a couple of ways from the Bible in the way that God answers prayer in a profound way. In Exodus 2, Israel is in captivity in Egypt. And they are slaves. The Bible tells us that they cry to the Lord. He hears their groaning, chapter 2, 24. And then chapter 3, verse 7, he says, I heard their cry. And he delivers them with 10 mighty plagues from the greatest of bondages. Are you this morning oppressed in bondage in some place, really miserable, and you can't get out of it? Well, God can get you out of that situation. You feel like, listen, I'm just, the life is being sucked out of me. There's this sin I can't, the Lord can set you free. But then they moved on in Exodus 14. And they're out of the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh is chasing them. And they get to the Red Sea behind them, and the Egyptian army behind them. And like, oh, they're going to die. And again, they cry out to the Lord. And this time the Lord says in Exodus 14, well, Moses, lift up your stick. And God makes a way through the ocean. He makes a way where there's no way. Are you like that? Maybe in your life this morning, there's a cul-de-sac. You feel like you've come to a dead end. Well, call on God to make a way for you where there's no way. He can do that. This is the God we serve. He can make a way for you. Call on Him. Say, Lord, I believe You can do that. Then in Exodus 17, verse 6, they run out of water. They cry before the Lord. And the Lord tells Moses, listen, stand before the rock at Horeb. You shall strike the rock and water will come out and the people may drink. No. Maybe you're in that a dry place spiritually or financially or relationally. It's just life is dried up, or in here you are dry. And you can say, Lord, please, I look to You. You can nourish me. You can replenish. You can quench my soul. I look to You. I call out to You. That is why you need to be devoted to praying, brother and sister. Because God can do the impossible. He answers prayer in the most amazing of ways. In James 5, if you maybe you're still in Revelation, but go to James 5 for a moment. You did James, I think, as a church a while back. So you still remember this, James 5. He says in James 5, verse 16, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced floods. Did you know that you can change the climate in South Africa with your prayers? Did you know that? You can change the climate in South Africa by your prayers. Because this is what Elijah did. And he said he was a man like us. He woke up like you do. He got hungry like you do. He went to sleep like he was a man like us. Yet he prayed and rain stayed away from the country for 3.5 years. And he prayed again and it rained. Your prayers can change the climate, the physical climate in South Africa. You believe that? You believe that? I believe it. I believe it. I believe my prayer, because the God we serve is not a village God. You hear that? He's not a small God that's only in charge of your street. In PE, the suburbs, he's the God of the nations. And when you pray to him, he can do change things in South Africa. You know, I wake up in the middle of the night. More so that I'm getting close to 50. I wake up and then I'm lying there, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, lay there on the stoop. And I'm praying. I say, Lord, everyone's sleeping now, but die skirke, die tsotsies. You know, the guys making drugs, selling drugs and transporting drugs, they're busy right now. And I pray, Father, please, in this night, frustrate the plans of the evil one. I pray in this night that all our border posts, land, sea and air, that those sniffer dogs will sniff out all those drugs. Because you see, Father, how those drugs are destroying children's lives, how it's destroying families. It's bad, Father. Please put a stop. Expose those guys who make it, who transport it, who sell it. Expose them. Then I wake up in the morning. I watch News 24. You know what I see? Here by Middelburg, here by Colesburg, police pulled over randomly a car. Here by Durban, the harbor. And I know that's my prayers. That's my prayers. When you were sleeping, I was praying. I said, Lord, expose. God has answered those prayers. You know this thing, land expropriation without compensation? Where our government wanted to justify stealing and legalize stealing? Because it's unrighteous. It's unjust before God. And I prayed against that. And I said, Lord, and I pray that even because the members of parliament need to be there to vote. And I prayed, Lord, please let some of them not be able to make it. Let them not be able to make it so they can't cast their vote. And I read that 40 of the ANC people couldn't be there, wasn't there to vote. Like, Lord, that's my answer to prayer. That's an answer to my prayer, working against evil and unrighteous principles and policies. Brother and sister, do you believe God can answer your prayers? Do you believe that because prayer moves the hand that moves the world. You hear that? It's not your prayer. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world. And the born-again Christian believes that about God, that God hears and God cares. And he prays to God. He prays to God about his family, about his work situation, about his church. You believe God can do the impossible? Oh, he answers prayer, brother and sister. And you miss out. When you don't pray, you miss out. And you must ask God, God, please teach me to pray. We see that at our church. We pray, Lord, please save the lost. And he does that. We pray for our people, please, Lord, make our people more like Jesus. And he does that. We pray, you know, we've got such beautiful testimonies. We pray, Lord, we've got space like you do in our church. We say, Lord, we've got empty seats. We don't want people from other churches, but there's people out there looking for a church that preaches the gospel and preaches the word. They lost sheep, they're out there. Bring them in, Lord. And you can ask my wife, ask my son, how people are coming in. Sack, we've been looking for a church for years. We've been looking here, we've been looking there. Sack, well, we've prayed you in. We've prayed you in because we've prayed for those souls, lost souls out there, who's looking for a spiritual home. We've prayed you in. Welcome. Welcome. Oh, how we lose out on blessings because we don't pray. How we lose out on blessings because your spirituality and your Christianity is all in your mind but not in your heart. It's an academic thing for you, but it's real, brother and sister. Walking with God is real. And this is why Paul comes and instructs this church, listen, be devoted to praying. Be devoted to praying. Don't miss out on what God is doing. If you are weak and tired, this time of the year, many of us, we're weak and tired. Isaiah 40:31, those who wait on the Lord will find new strength and rise up on wings like eagles. Wait on the Lord, call on the Lord, Isaiah 40:31. So brother and sister, I hope this encouraged you a little bit. We are called and commanded by God to be devoted to praying. And to be in it, and when we do pray, to make sure that we are thankful. And why be devoted to praying? Because that's why God created you and saved you. You will never be happy until you are happy in Christ. Are you happy in Him? Is He part of every day of your life? A relationship with Him. Or have you stopped praying? Because that's why Paul gives this command. Pray without ceasing, be devoted, because some Christians stop praying, and maybe it's because of a sin. And you need to search your heart, because sin separates you. It distorts this relationship. Or maybe life has become too good and you think, listen, I've got an F&B card with credit facilities. I don't need the Lord. Or maybe life has just been so tough that you've just given up. Oh, keep on praying. Keep on praying because you're needy. You're needy. We can't put one step before the other if the Lord doesn't help us. We can't breathe by ourselves if the Lord don't help us. We need Him in everything and for everything. And so stop seeing yourself as autonomous and independent because you've got a good education, you've got money in the bank, you've got a house, now you're made. You're not made. You need Him every second of your life. You need Him and beyond. And then lastly, be devoted to praying because God answers prayer. And your Christianity will always be just theoretical. It will always just be theoretical until you come to see how God answers prayer in the smallest of details in your life. And sometimes, you know, you've just thought it. You haven't even prayed it. And then it happens. And it's like, wow, it's amazing, Lord. It's amazing. I wanted to pray about that, but I haven't yet. And yeah, you do it already. Oh, and the joy that brings to our hearts to see God this involved with us. So brother and sister, I encourage thy trust to pray more, to obey God in this command, to be a praying people, to be a praying individual, to make use of opportunities in the church to pray. Like it's not negotiable. It's not, listen, should I go pray at the church? It's like, no, it's important. I need to be devoted to praying. I should make a point at least once a week, once in 2 weeks, to join one of those prayer meetings somewhere. That's what separates me from an unbeliever. They don't pray. They don't think they need God. I know I need God. The church needs Him. The leadership needs Him. So let's close this morning with where you sit. I want every one of us to pray where we sit. I want you to pray for four things. It's easy to remember. The one is just confess your prayerlessness. Say, Lord, I don't pray as I ought. I don't pray as I ought. It's not that important. And forgive me for that I've missed this thing that you want a relationship with me. So forgive me. And secondly, Lord, help me. Help me to, as I walk my life, help me to pray more. And then the third thing is tell the Lord that you love Him. Because He saved you, because He loves you. Just say, Lord, I love you. I know it's not perfect, but I love you. And then maybe fourthly, maybe you need a breakthrough. Maybe you need this something in your life where you really need the Lord to come through for you. And you've just not asked it. You presumed upon the Lord. Maybe ask Him. So confess your prayerlessness. Ask the Lord to teach you to pray. Tell the Lord that you love Him. And then ask the Lord for a breakthrough if you need one in your life. So let's have a moment of quiet prayer. Pray those things and then I will conclude for us. Father, we pray this morning that we will not merely be academic Christians. Christians who have all the truths in our minds, but not in our heart. That we will not be those kind of Christians who have all the right answers, but we don't walk with you in humility. Lord, because you have saved us, that we may be reconciled with you, restored, that we may have fellowship with you and with your Son, the Lord Jesus. And so we pray that we may be such kind of people. We acknowledge we need help. It's so easy, Lord, in our living in our flesh to be self-sufficient, to think we're self-sufficient, to think we're independent. And forgive us for that even now. And come again and show us, Father, and help us remember that we need you. We need you for the most basic things in life. We need you for the most extraordinary things of life. We need you for all of life. You are the one holding us together. You're sustaining the whole world. You created us. You sustain us. You will one day take us to glory. We will one day be there with you. And you are just taking us along. We need you. We need your Spirit to continue to work in us, to will and to work your good pleasure. We need you, Father, to love others as we love ourselves. We need you to love you. We need you, Lord. We can't live life in our own strength, in our own efforts. And so we come this morning and we say, help us when it comes to this discipline of prayer. Help all of us not to stay undeveloped and underdeveloped in this area. But help us discipline ourselves. Help us have regular quiet times. Teach us, Lord, how to go through a day and trust you every step of the way. As your word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Teach us, Lord, how to acknowledge you in all our ways. Teach us to roll our works before the Lord one by one, that our plans may be established. Teach us that, Lord, and help us. Help us live experiential Christian lives, that our Christianity may be real to us and authentic, that we may see you at work in our hearts and lives. Lord, help us experience and discover the wonderful riches of this relationship with you. And even today, Father, if there's sin in hearts here, that if people not if they're still unsaved, that they would realize, Lord, this is why they can't connect with you. Is they're not born again yet. They're still in another kingdom. They're not part of your family. Let them turn to you. And those who are yours, but Lord, there's sin. There's wrong things that they hold on to. They are quenching your Spirit. Help them break free, that they may enjoy this rich, deep fellowship with you through your Spirit and your Son. So Lord, we come to you. You have saved us for yourself. You have created us to have a relationship with you. So help us. Do it, and thank you, Lord, that this is not a chore. For you to say, be devoted to pray, is not like go and eat broccoli, but it's like go and eat ice cream. Go and soar in the wind. Go and swim in the waves like it's beautiful. So help us, Lord, see the beauty in not just in this command, but in every command in Scripture, which is for our good and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.